How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
To borrow without limit and without thinking how we are going to pay this back seems to me stupid and immoral.
Those of us who are Christians are bound by Jesus' command to protect the least of these the most. So we ask, what would Jesus cut?
Adults sometimes speak of hymns as though they're impossibly hard for children to learn, but I think most of the time they're projecting.
Are you a damned sinner under the law? I hope so. You must be. If you aren't, leave the space. Christ is not for you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
One of the things that is not optional, never has been optional for the church, is the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, you might find preachers, you might find church pundits who will tell you that it's optional, that they've found a better method, a better means, a better medium, whatever they want to call it, that they found a way to repackage the message in a different way that's more relevant, more engaging to people today, and that preaching is, well, it's passé. Many believe this. It's not true, at least if we take Jesus at his word. He intends for his name to be the name in which repentance and the forgiveness of sins is preached. Paul says, I was determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified, and he talks about preaching Christ and him crucified. That's always the assumption we use when we do a sermon review here on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 13th of July, a sermon review for the first half hour or so of the program today. Now, in the first hour of the program, some of you did not get an opportunity to hear, we actually did an hour-long sermon review of what I would call a bad sermon, a sermon that preaches a Christ that is merely your life coach, someone who can show you by example but can't really do anything for you. You got to do it all yourself. Here in this hour of Issues Etc., a review of a good sermon, one that does preach Christ in his saving office, Christ as the source of both repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Now, we always use the same three-part diagnostic for sermon reviews here on Issues Etc. Number one, is Jesus mentioned? You keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned by the preacher in the sermon. Now, this is not an oblique or not a general or generic reference to God that we're looking for here. We're looking for specific references to the second person of the Trinity, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus himself, the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. How often is he mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. If Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part two, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is he the one whose action is being described here? Is he the one who is doing the doing, running the verbs of the sermon? And if he's mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three, which is, what are the verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do, has promised to do for you? Is this the Jesus, as we heard in the first hour, who merely inspires and shows you how and leads by example and encourages you in every way possible, motivates you in every way possible, but doesn't do for you? Or is this the Jesus, as Scripture presents him, doing the verbs of living, suffering, dying, bleeding, rising again, being your substitute from beginning to end? That's the three-part diagnostic. When you're done, you can also step back and ask yourself the question, what problem has the preacher diagnosed in me, and what remedy has he given me from God's word for that problem? Is my problem sin and death, from which I cannot escape, for which there is only one solution, a Savior who is sinless and who has conquered death and who can rescue me from sin and death by his perfect life, death, and resurrection? Or is my problem merely too much stress, too little time, and too many demands on me, inability to get done what I need to get done. Then, of course, all you really need is life coaching. All you really need to do is go to a seminar. All you really need to do is tune in to Oprah, and she can help you with that problem. With that said, here's the sermon from Pastor David Peterson, preached Sunday at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The sermon text is Luke 15, verses 1 through 10, the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Here's the text. It says there, "Now tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus." This is actually the first 10 verses. "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." That's the text. Here's the sermon from Pastor David Peterson.
What we see is the tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus, and the subsequent complaint of the scribes and the Pharisees. What the parable shows is the view from heaven, not from earth. On earth, it may well seem that this is all a waste of time, that Jesus is throwing good money after bad, that he is a fool who is taken advantage of again and again, that the people he loves are unworthy, habitual sinners who have not and will not change, who have lashed out against all of those around them, who are shameful and disgraceful. Repent. That is who you are viewed from earth according to the law. The scribes and the Pharisees do not despise you without reason, but because you are vain and you worship yourself. But these parables, that of the lost coin and the lost sheep, do not present the view of earth. They present the view from heaven. They do not teach us of the joy of the sheep or of the coin that is found. They do not teach us of the faith, its character, or its purpose. They teach us, rather, of the joy of the finder, of the shepherd, the woman, the father, and the holy angels. Just consider this puzzling verse. "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Of course, that passage probably doesn't seem puzzling at all. Familiarity threatens to blind us once again. To be sure, rightly understood, the standard idea is not false. There are no just persons, none free of either original or actual sin, who need no repentance, either among the scribes and the Pharisees or among us. In that sense, what our Lord proclaims can be seen then as hyperbole, like unto his statement that only the sick are in need of a physician, knowing full well that the Pharisees and all of us are sick unto death and in desperate need of this physician. But there is more here than that. There was some debate among the rabbis about repentance. They argued about whether it was greater, more blessed, to be righteous, having never tasted of sin, or to have fallen and then repented. The latter idea was that giving up the pleasures of the flesh once tasted required more strength and character than having never known them. But our Lord, of course, is not simply taking one side over the other. To see a greater virtue in having rejected sin than in simply having never known it is to assume that there is some possibility of these things. And of course, there is not. Our Lord is declaring that this particular virtue, repentance and faith, is more than mere virtue to be checked against others. It is the means by which one enters into the fellowship of the holy angels. Everyone is a sinner. Some are impenitent and think they are righteous, but they are still sinners. others by God's grace, us among them, are repentant and look to Christ for salvation. But still, there is more here than that. That's just the standard view of this passage. And the reason there is more here than that is because there is one who needs no repentance. Remember, these parables do not describe the experience of the penitents or the faithful. They are not told from the perspective of the lost sheep or the lost coin. They are about the Messiah, the Finder, His compassion and His rescue of the lost, and the subsequent joy in heaven that comes from His finding them. These parables are not about us. And in our fallen flesh, we always think everything is about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Let's take a break here for a moment. Now, you see, first of all, that what Pastor Peterson does so well is stay firmly rooted in the text. He keeps both feet in the text that he's preaching. This is what they used to call textual preaching. Nowadays, in fact, before we came on the air earlier this afternoon, I overheard my producer playing a little bit of a Rick Warren sermon. We were contemplating reviewing one of his sermons. I heard a little bit of Rick Warren, and he made reference to the text, and it caught my ears. I was like a dog sitting in here. My ears perked up. I heard Rick Warren mention the text, and I thought to myself, you know, it's been a long time since Rick Warren has preached the text. He preaches a lot of things, mostly his own ideas and his church's programs. He is like Robert Schuller, preaching more from his books than from the book, the good book. But he mentioned the text. This is what textual preaching sounds like. First of all, it stays in the text. It stays with the language of the text. And what Pastor Peterson has so rightly pointed out here, maybe we misunderstand this because we are too familiar with it. It stays with what the text is really all about. The one here who needs no repentance, Jesus. We'll hear more about Him after this.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
were reviewing a sermon by Pastor David Peterson. It was preached this Sunday, church where he pastors in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Redeemer Lutheran Church. And he's preaching on the two parables that are told together in the church's readings, the parables of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Now, I was talking before the break about textual preaching. If a pastor actually stays in the text, he might find himself preaching the text in a way that the hearers haven't heard it before. Not because he's being particularly novel, not because he's innovating, not because he's coming up with a new interpretation or a new idea, not because he's repackaging the text in a way that's more relevant for today's hearers. None of that. What I've discovered again and again and again is that when a pastor preaches from the text, not just starts with the text and then preaches what he thinks the text says, or starts lazy preaching will always end up sounding exactly the same. It will always end up sounding like the preaching you heard 25 years ago. Isn't this parable about us finding a treasure? We lose and we find eternal life. Or maybe it isn't about that. Maybe it's about Jesus finding us. Without really delving into the words of the text itself. And I think the insight that he has come to in these parables, Pastor Peterson has, comes from actually paying attention to what Jesus is saying. Rather than simply dashing it off as though, yes, there is no one righteous and there's no one out there who doesn't need repentance. Maybe Jesus wants us to think about the one who doesn't need repentance. Maybe Jesus wants us to think about the one who actually finds the lost. Maybe Jesus wants us to think and contemplate him rather than ourselves. Back to the sermon.
I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And this is the great surprise. The holy angels rejoice over every sinner who repents more than they ever rejoice over a single perfect and holy Messiah who needs no repentance. Indeed, they rejoice more over a single sinner who repents than they would rejoice over 99 such messiahs. Every sinner on earth, everyone infected with both original and actual sin, everyone in bondage, every habitual sinner, every liar, every betrayer, every Pharisee, every pervert, every fraud, every braggart, every drug dealer, terrorist, adulterer, and child pornographer, every selfish, proud person on this planet who repents is worth more joy in heaven than 99 perfect and holy messiahs. You do not only outrank the sparrows in terms of causing joy in heaven, you outrank God in the flesh. You are worth more than 100 times, at least in terms of joy, you are worth more than 100 times Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh, does not cause the holy angels in heaven to rejoice even 100th as much as you, your repentance and faith, do. Why? Because Jesus, the Messiah, who needs no repentance, is rejected in heaven. And that rejection affects, causes, is the means of the rescue, the salvation, and the redemption of the world, of sinners.
I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read this again. Why is it that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, any sinner who repents, the worst sinner who repents, than over the perfect sinless Son of God, the Messiah? Pastor Peterson says, because Jesus, the Messiah who needs no repentance, is rejected in heaven. Now, this is getting the cross out of this text. This is getting the cross out of this parable. Where, you know, you may have heard this parable preached 100 times before, and the pastor had to find some way of shoehorning the cross in there. He had to find some way of including the message of the cross. Maybe it was too much trouble for him. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just kind of preached a generic, willingness of God to receive sinners in repentance with no cross necessary. But do you see what Pastor Peterson is saying here? He's saying that the only reason sinners can be repentant sinners, the only reason that sinners are received with joy in heaven by the angels of God, indeed by the Father himself, in repentance, is because the one sinner, the one who is sinless, who needed no repentance, is in their place rejected by that very God at the cross. Now see, this is called preaching Jesus in his saving office. This is called not simply talking about Jesus and how great he is and how much he can inspire you. None of that does you any good. We are sinners. We are lost. This is more than just preaching a Jesus who goes and selflessly finds you, which of course he does, who seeks you out and finds you and rescues you, which he does. This is preaching Jesus who is your substitute. Jesus who has given up the joy in heaven himself so that the angels might rejoice in you.
This is how the sheepfold is full. 100, that is the perfect and full company of all the elect, because the Messiah goes and searching and brings them all in. He is lost that we would be found. He is handed over that we might be pulled out of hell. He is counted as guilty that we would be declared righteous, innocent, holy. The lamp is lit, the house is swept, the Messiah is cast out that there might be no hiding place, no crevice or crack for hell to steal you away. All accusations are turned to him that there is no one left to accuse you. He answers for your every sin. The ram is caught in the thicket. His love will not let him go. The innocent dies for the guilty. The angel of death passes over for the sake of his holy blood. And the Messiah, who needs no repentance, who is not infected by either original or actual sin, who has no guilt or failure of his own, the Messiah, God's own Son, is cast out to make room for you. Surprisingly, this does not make heaven sad. The holy angels and saints in heaven do not weep or look on with sad and wondering eyes as the Messiah is forsaken by the Father and the Holy Spirit on the cross. Rather, they rejoice. They love it. They love the sacrifice. For they know and trust that the will of the Father is always good. The Son is roasted in the Father's wrath as a whole burnt offering in order to make you clean, and it is a pleasing aroma to the Holy Father in heaven. This unexpected and miraculous justice, God's own justice, recreates and restores creation. It is beyond our comprehension, but it is certainly, we can certainly recognize that it is most certainly good and true. The Son's endurance of hell casts the devil into the pit and ends his reign of terror. The Father himself carries the lost sheep into heaven on his shoulders. The angels and saints rejoice. They are the friends and neighbors for whom the Lord declares a feast. You are the guest of honor, the great treasure redeemed and rescued from slavery and death. Like the tax collectors and sinners before us, we are drawn today near to hear Jesus. The Spirit has called us by the gospel. But more than that, we eat with him. We have fellowship. But still there is more. For we are more than his guests. We are his beloved bride by grace. But there is more than that. For we actually eat him. We have intimacy with the Holy Trinity beyond that known in the marriage beds of mere mortals. We eat higher things than that which was given to the priests. We eat and are consumed. We are one flesh with the bridegroom of grace, and we serve as his temples, the place of his mercy for tax collectors and sinners, and his ambassadors, witnesses of the resurrection, because God is present in the flesh in our midst for us today in the Holy Communion. That's why we sing with Simeon at the end of the service, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What we have seen is the Messiah, physically present for us, risen and ascended, but present for us in his body and his blood given and shed. What wondrous love is this, that the angels in heaven would share in our joy and rejoice over our repentance and faith bestowed by grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's the sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Luke chapter 15, the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. It didn't take 45 minutes. It didn't take rocket science. He simply preached the text, and out came Jesus, the crucified substitute for sinners. Folks, if you appreciate our sermon reviews, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. No gift is too small. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the challenging summer months. When we come back, we'll hear what you had to say on the Issues Etc. comment line, and we'll discuss Christianity in China with David Aikman. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Why do women seek abortions?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Alan Guttmacher Institute conducted a poll of over 1,200 women who recently had abortions, and the results may surprise you. The women were asked to identify the main reason they sought an abortion in the first place. Despite what pro-abortion groups might have us think about rape and incest as motives, the most common reason given was that having a baby would dramatically change the mother's life. The women cited financial troubles as the second leading cause. Only 14% pointed to pressure from a husband or partner to abort.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.